Welcome to A-Level Biology Unlocked, the podcast that gets you exam ready, one topic at a time. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and frequently examined topics in OCR A-Level Biology, populations. This is Module 6, Topic 7.2, and trust me, once you understand the elegant logic behind how populations work, the exam questions almost answer themselves. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. So what are we actually talking about when we say populations? A population is simply all the individuals of the same species living in the same area at the same time. But the real magic and the real exam content is in understanding what controls how big that population gets, what makes it grow, what makes it crash, and how different species interact with each other in their environment. This topic sits right at the heart of ecology, and OCR examiners absolutely love testing it. Let's start with the big one, carrying capacity. This is defined as the maximum population size that an environment can support indefinitely, given the food, habitat, water, and other resources available. Notice that word indefinitely. That's the key. It's not just the maximum number that can survive for a short time, it's the sustainable maximum. In exam answers, you must include that idea of sustainability to get the mark. The carrying capacity is often represented by the letter K, and you'll see it as the upper plateau on a logistic growth curve, that beautiful S-shaped graph. Speaking of which, let's talk about population growth curves. There are two main shapes you need to know. The first is the J-shaped curve, which shows exponential growth. This happens when resources are unlimited and there's no competition or predation. The population just keeps growing faster and faster. Think of bacteria in a fresh culture medium. Nothing to stop them, so they double and double and double. But in the real world, this can't go on forever. That's where the S-shaped curve or logistic growth curve comes in. This is far more realistic. The population starts with a slow lag phase. There are few individuals, so reproduction is slow. Then it enters an exponential growth phase as numbers build up. But as the population approaches the carrying capacity, growth slows down, resources become limiting, competition increases. Eventually, the population stabilizes around K, fluctuating slightly above and below it. This is the pattern you need to be able to draw, label, and explain in an exam. Now, what actually causes that slowdown? This is where we introduce limiting factors, and OCR makes a crucial distinction here between two types. First, density-dependent factors. These are factors whose effect on the population gets stronger as population density increases. Classic examples are disease. The more crowded the population, the faster disease spreads. Predation, more prey means predators can find food more easily and their numbers rise. Competition for food, water, or territory also intensifies as numbers grow. These factors create a negative feedback loop that keeps populations in check. When the population rises above K, these factors kick in harder and bring it back down. Second, density-independent factors. These affect the population regardless of how many individuals there are. A severe frost, a volcanic eruption, a flood, these will kill a fixed proportion of the population whether there are 10 individuals or 10,000. They're often abiotic. That means non-living, physical factors like temperature, rainfall, and natural disasters. In exam questions, when you're asked to explain why a population declined, always ask yourself, is this factor getting stronger because the population is bigger? If yes, it's density dependent. If it would have happened anyway, it's density independent. Now, let's talk about one of the most visually striking concepts in this topic, predator-prey cycles. This is a classic OCR exam favorite, and there's one mistake that costs candidates marks every single time. Let me make sure you never make it. Imagine a population of rabbits and foxes. When rabbit numbers are high, foxes have plenty of food, so fox numbers start to rise. But, and this is the critical bit, the fox population doesn't peak at the same time as the rabbit population. There's a lag. Why? Because it takes time for foxes to reproduce. They need to eat well, build up energy reserves, mate, gestate, and raise young. This reproductive delay means the predator peak always comes after the prey peak. Always. If you write that they peak simultaneously in an exam, you will lose marks. Here's what the cycle looks like. Rabbit numbers rise, foxes have more food, so after a delay, fox numbers rise too. Now, there are lots of foxes eating lots of rabbits, so rabbit numbers fall. With less food, fox numbers then fall, again after a lag. With fewer foxes predating them, rabbit numbers start to recover, and the cycle begins again. It's a beautiful self-regulating oscillation. When you draw or describe this cycle, always explicitly state the lag phase and explain it as a reproductive delay. That's where the marks are. Next up, competition. OCR distinguishes between two types, and you must use the correct term to gain credit. Intraspecific competition is competition between individuals of the same species. As a population grows and approaches carrying capacity, individuals compete more intensely for the same food, the same nesting sites, the same mates. This is what drives the S-shaped growth curve. Intraspecific competition intensifies as numbers rise. Interspecific competition is competition between individuals of different species. This is more complex and can lead to two outcomes. If two species compete for exactly the same resources in exactly the same way, one will always outcompete the other and drive it to local extinction. This is called the competitive exclusion principle. However, if the two species can differentiate their niches slightly, maybe one feeds at dawn and the other at dusk, or one uses slightly different food sources, they can coexist. This is called niche differentiation. In exam questions, never just write competition. Always specify intraspecific or interspecific, and always link it to the specific resource being competed for. That's how you turn a 2-mark answer into a 4-mark answer. Now let's move on to the required practical element of this topic, the capture mark recapture method, which gives us the Lincoln Index. This is used to estimate the size of a mobile animal population. You can't just count them all, so you use this clever statistical technique. Here's how it works. You go out and capture a sample of animals, let's say woodlice in a garden. You count them, mark them in a way that doesn't harm them or make them more visible to predators, maybe a small dot of non-toxic paint on their shell, and then release them back into the population. You wait long enough for them to mix randomly back into the population, then you go back and capture a second sample, you count the total in the second sample, and you count how many of those are marked. The Lincoln Index formula is n equals n1 multiplied by n2 divided by n, where n is the estimated population size, what you're trying to find. n1 is the number caught and marked in the first sample. n2 is the total number caught in the second sample. And lowercase n is the number of marked individuals in the second sample. Let's do a quick worked example. You catch and mark 40 woodlice. You release them. The next day, you catch 55 woodlice and 11 of them are marked. So n equals 40 times 55 divided by 11. That's 2200 divided by 11, which equals 200. Your estimated population size is 200 woodlice. And remember, always round to the nearest whole number. You cannot have a fraction of an organism. That's a mark-losing mistake that comes up every year. But here's the thing. This method only gives an accurate estimate if certain assumptions are met. And OCR loves asking you to state these assumptions. There are 4 key ones. First, no migration. Animals must not enter or leave the population between the two sampling events because that would change the proportion of marked individuals. Second, no births or deaths between captures. If animals die or are born, the population size changes, making your calculation inaccurate. Third, the marking must not affect survival. If your mark makes the animal more visible to predators or causes stress, the marked animals are more likely to die, which skews your results. Fourth, marked animals must mix randomly back into the population. If they all cluster together rather than mixing evenly, the second sample won't be representative. In an exam, if you're asked to evaluate the reliability of a capture mark recapture study, go through these assumptions one by one and assess whether each one is likely to have been met. Right, let's shift to conservation versus preservation, another area where candidates regularly drop marks by confusing the two terms. These are not the same thing, and OCR is very specific about the distinction. Conservation is the active management of ecosystems and species to allow sustainable use. It involves human intervention, culling invasive species, reintroducing native ones, managing habitats, creating wildlife corridors. The key idea is that humans are involved, and the goal is sustainable use alongside protection. Think of a managed woodland where trees are coppiced, deer are culled, and public access is maintained. That's conservation. Preservation, on the other hand, means maintaining an ecosystem in its pristine, undisturbed state with minimal or no human interference. The aim is to keep it exactly as it is. Think of a strict nature reserve where humans are excluded entirely or a wilderness area protected from all development. A useful memory hook. Conservation involves active management. Think of it like conserving energy by actively managing how you use it. Preservation is about keeping something perfect and untouched, like preserving a historical artifact in a glass case. For level of response questions on sustainable management, which are typically 6-mark questions, OCR expects you to cover 3 dimensions: ecological benefits, economic benefits, and social benefits. Structure your answer to address all 3 and use specific examples. Don't just say it helps the environment. Say, maintaining biodiversity preserves ecosystem services such as pollination and water purification, which have direct economic value. Now, let's talk exam technique. Let me give you the inside track on how to maximize your marks on this topic. For suggest questions about population data, and there are always a few of these, you need to link the observed trend to a specific factor. Don't just say food decreased. Say, as the rabbit population increased, intraspecific competition for grass intensified, reducing food availability per individual, which increased mortality and reduced birth rate. That's the kind of mechanistic, linked explanation that earns marks. For calculation questions using the Lincoln Index, always show your substitution clearly. Write out the formula, substitute the numbers, show your working, and state the final answer as a whole number with no units. Population size is just a number, not measured in any unit. For describe questions on graphs, use comparative language. The prey population peaks at time T1, whereas the predator population peaks at time T2, which is later. That whereas is doing important work. It's showing you understand the relationship, not just reading off 2 separate facts. For explain questions, always use the word because or therefore to link your cause to your effect. Predator numbers increase because prey is abundant, providing more food for successful reproduction. That causal link is what earns the mark. And for the level of response questions, the big 6 markers, plan before you write. Jot down 3 or 4 key points, make sure you're covering AO1 knowledge, AO2 application, and where possible, AO3 analysis or evaluation. Oerse Rorts' theme for these questions rewards breadth and coherence. So a well-structured answer covering multiple angles will always outperform a detailed answer on just 1 point. Now, quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 5 seconds to think, then I'll give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the formula for the Lincoln Index? 5 seconds. The answer is N equals N_e times N_tui divided by N. Question 2. What is the key difference between density-dependent and density-independent limiting factors? 5 seconds. Density-dependent factors have a greater effect as population density increases. Density-independent factors affect the population regardless of density. Question 3. Why does the predator population peak after the prey population? 5 seconds. Because of a reproductive delay, it takes time for predators to breed and raise offspring in response to increased food availability. Question 4. Name 2 assumptions of the capture mark recapture method. 5 seconds. Any 2 of no migration, no births or deaths between captures, marking does not affect survival, marked individuals mix randomly. Question 5. What is the difference between conservation and preservation? 5 seconds. Conservation involves active management for sustainable use. Preservation means maintaining an ecosystem in a pristine state with no interference. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If you stumbled on any, go back and review that section. Those are exactly the kinds of questions that appear in OCR exams. So let's bring it all together with a quick summary of today's key points. 1. Carrying capacity is the maximum sustainable population size an environment can support, represented by K on a logistic growth curve. 2. Limiting factors are either density dependent, like disease and predation, or density independent, like climate events. Always specify which type in your answers. 3. In predator-prey cycles, the predator peak always lags behind the prey peak due to reproductive delay. Never say they peak simultaneously. 4. Intraspecific competition is between members of the same species. Interspecific competition is between different species. Always use the correct term. 5. The Lincoln Index formula is N equals N1 times N2 divided by N. Always state 4 assumptions and always round your answer to a whole number. 6. Conservation is active management for sustainable use. Preservation is maintaining a pristine state with no interference. These are not interchangeable. 7. For level of response questions on sustainable management, always address ecological, economic, and social dimensions. That's it for today's episode of A-Level Biology Unlocked. You've covered carrying capacity, logistic growth, limiting factors, predator-prey cycles, competition, the Lincoln Index, and conservation versus preservation. That's a huge chunk of the OCR Module 6 specification, and you should feel genuinely confident going into any exam question on this topic. Keep revisiting these concepts using active recall. Cover your notes, ask yourself the questions, and check your answers. Spaced repetition is your best friend at A level. Good luck, work hard, and I'll see you in the next episode.